Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me today is David Holly and Mike Gregg. This episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Millwall tomorrow. Before that, we'll have another segment of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, which includes us debating questions I put on the Cottage Talk Facebook page for the fans to comment on. And today, as always, we have two very interesting topics to break down. Lastly, we have two bonus topics for the roundtable, which will be discussions on the recent articles by David Holly on CottagesConfidential.com and also Mike Gregg on Viva El Fulham. We will be discussing both of their articles, which truly were excellent, and I look forward to talking about those articles. Before we do anything, I have to welcome one of my co-hosts who's on the line with me right now. David, welcome back to Cottage Talk, my friend.
Hi, Russ, and hiya to Mike when he joins us. It's the Friday dream team of recent weeks, I think, isn't it, the three of us? So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going through it and seeing if we can, we can come up with some idea to change things around or suggest things, because we really need to break this cycle of results, and let's hope that we can do that tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
I am too, and also, David, during the show, before we start our preview of the Millwall match, I'm going to play the audio clip from Kit. You know, again, he did a video clip with Sarah earlier, so we'll share that. That'll start with our preview of the upcoming match, which, as you can imagine, is huge tomorrow. Look forward to talking about that. But we have so many things to talk about. And as we wait for Mike, let's start here. Let's go to Cottage Talk. Quick shots, David. I got to be honest with you. The first item that I'm going to talk to you about surprised me. Maybe it shouldn't have, but it surprised me. What are your thoughts on George Williams going out on loan to MK Dons?
To be honest with you, I wasn't surprised at all, because I could see this sort of thing coming. George has been less and less involved with the first team squad, really, of late. At one point he had a starting place and he was a regular sub, and these are diminished with, you know, especially since Kaká's been back. And I think, I actually spoke to him at times, and I think it was kind of, they were prepared for this, and it was a matter that George wants to be playing regularly, so they felt this was a good move for him. And I believe he actually played in the number 10 role at Milton Keynes last week, and he's
interesting
for their first match. Played 70 minutes in the number 10 role, which is quite surprising in a way, but I think everyone else has played number 10 for Fulham, so why not George practice in number 10 at Milton Keynes? I did have a quick word with his dad and said that, how's it going? And he said they need to retrain George into bringing his plate back after dinner and hanging his towel up on the bathroom peg or something after his recent time away with Marcus. I don't know if it was true or not, if it was just winding me up. But no, I'm not really surprised by this, because I think George has had that taste of first-team football, and to help with his progression, he probably needs to be sort of playing more regularly now, rather than, you know, if he goes back to playing in the under-21s or whatever, it's a little bit of a regression for him. You know, he's played international football as well. He needs to be playing first-team football. So I think it's a good move for him to keep playing. You know, Fulham have already shown their commitment to him by extending his contract, of course. As I say, at this point in time, not only is it we have Kaká back and George doesn't get much playing time, we have, you know, the continuing issue with the formation that we're going to talk about as well.
Yes.
Which means that there are less opportunities for George as well, really. So I'm not surprised. It's his local club. He's got links there. You know, his family live locally to that. You know, for logistics, it makes a good sense. The only thing is, I feel sorry for Marcus Bettinelli, obviously. I don't know what he's doing now without a flatmate. But not forever, is it? It's just for a few months.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, again, it's not for a long term. It's short term, David. But, again, I think it's a good move for him. Let's start there. I agree with you. I think this is a good move for George Williams for his progression as a player, as a footballer. I'm disappointed because, again, I was hoping to see him get involved in what Fulham are doing. And like you mentioned, maybe that has something to do with the issues that we're talking about formation-wise. You know, again, maybe he was getting squeezed out because of the return of Kaká, like you mentioned, and moving the pieces around. So it does make sense. I guess I'm just disappointed that George, you know, is not getting more of a look in right now. But, I guess you could say it kind of feeds into what we're talking about with the formation. So that's what actually kind of disappointed me, because he is a true winger, and I think Fulham need players like that. But apparently they're okay with sending him out, and if he's not going to play, David, then he should go out on loan, and he is. So I guess in the long term it makes sense. In the short term, I'm still disappointed by it. If that makes any sense, David.
No, of course, totally.
Okay. Well, let's go on to item number two in Cottage Talk Quick Shots, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Well, David, you don't have to say Elsad Zveretic anymore, because he's now gone, along with Dino Fazlik. They both have left the club. What are your thoughts on these two players leaving?
Well, you know, I'd got to master Zveretic quite well, I think, in recent times, so it wasn't much of an issue for me, that one. Fazlik isn't a surprise, obviously. He's we'd never see him figure once. He was brought in, I've never seen him play, not at the reserve level, under 21 level. He's never made the first team squad, as far as I know. So there's no great loss, I suppose, there. Zveretic is more of a surprise because, this was a case where, he's actually had his contract cancelled or paid up or something.
Right.
So they probably could have kept him to the end of the season for not much more if they needed to. And I would have thought he was a better bet than some. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but when you compare to people like Voza, who can fill the full-back roles and things like that, I would have thought he was, a more stable option. Obviously, he had that game against Blackpool where he got into some very, very good attacking positions on the right when we were chasing the game, and he fluffed so many crosses, and that obviously didn't help. Didn't help his sort of chances, maybe. But I was surprised by him because I thought, well, for what it would have cost to keep him, they may have got him in his cover. I mean, I do hear rumours that, Kit is talking about extending, Ashley Richards.
Right.
Which would kind of, I suppose, go hand in hand with him not keeping Zveretic. But obviously we know that Hoogland is very, very close now to playing as well. So it's a little bit surprising as well in that respect. I can understand Zveretic going, I suppose, but not so much than wanting to extend Richards had, if that's true. But it's a shame to see him go, but he never really established himself at Fulham either. He was a squad player, backup at best, and if he's got an offer to play somewhere else, then so be it.
Yeah, listen, I'm there with you on Zveretic. Fazlik never featured, so, again, best of luck to him in the future. But in regard to Zveretic, you could be right, because, again, I believe in the presser, Kit did address his desire. I'm paraphrasing, his desire to sign Ashley Richards, again, to a longer term loan. I don't know for how long, but again, looks like he's interested in possibly extending it, which I find interesting. And again, that probably does affect Zveretic, so it does make sense. If you look at all the points of contact here, if you look at all the different points, you can see how they all connect here. And you're probably right there, David. Probably the desire to hold on to Richards for a little bit longer might have something to do with Zveretic leaving. And, of course, the return of Hoogland. Again, that does make sense. But it also makes you think about, well, what role does Voser have, though? Again, he's still with Fulham. So, again, that's a curious one as well. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised that these players are leaving, David. It's not a huge disappointment. Again, I wish them both the best of luck. And I guess, like you said, maybe it just means that other players are going to be featuring more, and he wasn't going to be featuring, so you might as well let him go. So I guess it makes sense, David.
Certainly.
Yeah. All right, David. Well, we're still waiting for Mike, but let's get going on this. Let's enter the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, and Mike can join us when he does come on. And let's start here. Again, I posted two questions, and this was the first one. And it's funny because this is something that we talked about already on Cottage Talk, so it'll kind of be an extension to what we've already been discussing. But let's go down this road anyways. Here's the first Cottage Talk Facebook question. Should Fulham hire an assistant to help Kit Simons? We're basically talking about a number two. I don't want to put number two. I just said an assistant to Kit. Same thing. So what are your thoughts on this, David? Have you changed your mind at all about him needing a number two? What are your thoughts on this?
Sorry, I'm just... In the UK, needing a number two has another connotation, actually. And that kind
of, sure.
That kind of describes where we are at the moment, because we are a bit shit, aren't we? So we definitely need to do something. Sorry for the pun.
That's okay.
We need to do something. We've established that, and you know what we do is the question. You know, do we fire the whole lot of them and bring in new people? Bit drastic. Do we bring in a number two? And you know, last time I said, well, that's all very well, but if they bring in someone who's Kit doesn't know, and Kit, you know, Kit maybe won't get on with, then you're just going to have a disaster as well, aren't you? So the only number two that really could come in would be someone who Kit would be agreeable to, and someone who has got the satisfactory kind of nous and experience, you know, to bring to the table what we need. So it's a very difficult question to find the right person to come in as a number two, as an assistant at this stage. You would have hoped that, you know, the impending start of Mike Rigg, although not as a number two, would help in other areas. I'm sure there will be advice offered. It's all about, you know, Kit, and I'm sure he's very desperate to prove that he's his own man. I'm sure as someone in
right.
a job, you know when you first start out in a new job, you want to show everybody that you can do it. And I suppose in some ways to say that I'd like help, although it's understandable, may be perceived as a sign of weakness or a sign of failure as well. So it's a difficult situation, isn't it? And I do get the impression Kit is very stubborn, and he has, or you know, and stubborn can be good in a way. It can mean, you know, you're strong-minded, strong-willed. You have a very clear vision of where you want to go with things, but obviously it can be a negative as well, that you're not prepared to be flexible and listen to offer, so, or changes. So, in theory, bringing in a number two, yes, it's a great idea, but in practice, I think it'll be very difficult to find the right fit.
Interesting. My idea, the reason why I think it's a good idea, David, you know, again, it kind of goes to what we're talking about here, and we're going to be talking about a little bit, about your article about the diamond formation. You know, again, it really talks to that. You know, again, the perception I have is similar to yours, that maybe he's a little stubborn. So, again, I think having another pair of eyes with him to basically pass off ideas and say, hey, let's look at it this way. Why don't we try this? He can always say, no, he's the boss. But it just gives him another set of eyes who can look at the situation and maybe, you know, suggest something else. And then it's up to Kit to decide, you know, and just to bounce ideas off of. You know, basically, you know, the way it looks to me, again, I'm sure he has people helping him, but I'm talking about someone else that again, could really help him on match day to really just bounce ideas off of and say, you know what, this isn't working. Let's try this. Let's try this substitute. Let's make the change now. They're doing X. We need to do Y. And, you know, again, that's where I think a number two could be extremely helpful, David. It's not a sign of weakness to need help. It isn't. It's actually a sign of strength, if you're asking me. You know, it's okay to get help. It doesn't show any weakness to get help from someone else that might be able to make your job a little bit easier. You know, so again, I don't know if this is stubbornness or if he wants one. I don't know. I'm just asking the question, you know, to you and to our audience. And I think it could be a benefit to him. But I hear where you're going. For you, it would have to be the right person. Is that where you're going on this, David? It would have to be the right fit.
Yeah, and it's just finding that right person. How do you do that? Because, I mean, Kit does have a number two already, remember? He has, you know, Mark Painbridge and people who were with him in the under-21s.
Right.
And he obviously respects their opinion. And, you know, Mark Painbridge had, you know, quite a good playing career as well, at a reasonable level. So he's got experience of the game. And you know, they've done a lot of good things with the under-21s. So, you know, it's not all bad.
No, of course
not.
Mark
Painbridge, of course, is from the same kind of Wales setup as well that Kit was. And perhaps they're just a little bit too much of the coming from the same mould, if you know what I mean. They
right,
may
right,
agree
exactly.
They need someone different who will challenge. A bit like when I joined Quite's Talk, really. You guys all used to, you know, agree nicely, and then I come on and started throwing ideas in you. At first, you probably thought, what the hell, but in time, slowly, some of it's permeated through, and, you know, perhaps you do respect what I say as well now. And, it, you know, sometimes people change their mind. And you need someone who can do that, that can come in and offer an opinion that perhaps is at first seems to be, you know, unreasonable or to be, you know, inappropriate almost. But then when you think about it, you think, hold on a minute, maybe there's something to it. But to
right, David,
someone
you know,
come in to do that, it's very, very difficult. Someone to come in that can be accepted for being different, to offer something out of the box that you haven't thought of or you weren't prepared to consider. And, you know, how do you do that? How do you get someone to come in? Because, you know, if he's the boss and this is person's number two, you can just say, well, actually, no, you know, I'm the boss and I don't like what you're saying. You know, it's how do you find someone who can come in and convince the boss that he's wrong, maybe? And that's what it almost amounts to, isn't it? Someone
well,
saying,
right,
hold
David.
On, no, I don't agree with you here. You need to be doing like this, or let's do it like this. And, you know, you've got to put a lot of faith in someone to do that. And you need someone with some real sort of blue sky thinking. And, you know, and it's not easy to find these people, not someone who can come in who wants to be a number two. I mean, you know, this is a Rennie Meulensteen type scenario, isn't it, in a way?
It is. It is, David. It is a Rennie Meulensteen kind of situation, correct.
And you need, you know, and he obviously, Rennie Meulensteen had a great reputation as a number two, a fantastic reputation as a number two. I mean, he was at United all those years, and many players have talked about him as being, you know, a superstar as a coach and great ideas. And you know, he worked well with Ferguson. That was, you know, probably quite a strange mix, but it obviously worked well because they were quite different. But he came to Fulham, of course, and maybe it was a bit too cosy in a way because him and Martin Jol were both Dutchmen and they probably knew each other through the old boys' network and stuff. But if you imagine we brought in someone like a Meulensteen now, unbeknown to Kit, it might may be difficult at first, but that might be the sort of person you're looking for, someone who is a very experienced number two and a coach and a motivator and who does have different ideas. But as I say, it's sort of, a, you know, it's the old bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink necessarily because you can bring a number two in, but if Kit doesn't want to listen, he wants to do it his way, then, you know, you're wasting your time. So it's just, in theory, I agree with it completely, but in practice, I'm not sure how it works.
Okay, well, I see your point, David, that it would have to be the right person. I'm not going to disagree with you there. You know, people have suggested names. I believe it was, I can't remember who suggested Danny Murphy. You know, again, that's an outside-the-box type of name. You know, I'm not, you know, again, I think, you know, like you mentioned, very good point by you. He already has someone, you know, someone that he trusts, but maybe someone from the outside of his own, you know, coaching tree, as we would say here in America. You know, that, like you said, his own coaches, you know, someone from the outside that can maybe spark debate, spark up new ideas. You brought yourself up to, which I find very interesting, but I see where you're going on that because I'm not against new ideas, and maybe he just needs someone that can just say, you know what, try it this way. And it's still going to be up to Kit, David, to ultimately make that final decision. But I don't think it's a bad thing to have someone be challenged. You've challenged me, my friend, and I've never thought badly of it. I thought it's been a good thing. So sometimes having someone that can challenge you from the outside is a good thing. And that's kind of where I'm going on this. I think it could be a benefit. But, again, it would have to be the right fit. It would have to be someone that could, you know, that could feel comfortable enough to challenge Kit and also be skillful enough to offer different ideas. And so it could actually work hand in hand. And I see what you're saying. It's not that easy to just say, okay, he needs another guy. He needs someone else besides the people he has. I think you would have to be careful. I think it would have to just be someone that, like you said, that they would have to do their homework. They'd have to find someone that could actually have some other ideas that he believes could help out Kit. So, again, it's not that easy. I see what you're saying. That's why it's an interesting topic to discuss. I think that they should investigate and try to find someone. That's just my opinion. So, David, just so you know, Mike is actually having problems with Skype getting in, and that's why we're getting a delay. But it looks like Mike might be with us now. Let me just double check. Mike, are you in?
I believe so.
Mike, you with us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's good to have you back on, Mike. I'm sorry you're having Skype issues.
I don't know what's going on there. Doing everything I usually do, but it's just not working.
That's okay, Mike. You are here now, and I'm glad that you could join us. You know, again, we just touched base on a couple of topics in the Cottage Talk Quick Shots, and now we are on to the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, where we're getting into talking about hiring an assistant coach. David and I are going back and forth, and before I go and share the thoughts of the Fulham supporters, I want to get your thoughts on this. David brought up a good point. It has to be the right fit. He does have someone helping him out now, but maybe someone from the outside, an assistant from the outside, could be a benefit. I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Well, we touched on this on Tuesday, didn't we, about
yes.
whether he should be the one to instigate it or whether the club should go to him and say, you know, bring someone in. I mean, if the club force someone in, then that's the end of him as manager, really. I mean, probably myself, if I was in his position, I'd probably walk as well if they said, right, you're having so-and-so next year. I mean, you may have read what I wrote this morning. I mean, I'm absolutely of the opinion that he needs another set of eyes with him in the dugout.
Right.
Just someone to, you know, give him a word in his ear or just look at things from afresh. Somebody who's not been in the club.
Right.
You know, who has no relationship with any of the players, doesn't know what was before or anything like that. So someone just to have a look, see what's happening, see what players are doing. So, yes, I absolutely think he needs someone. I'm disappointed no one's come in this week by the looks of it, and he's running out of time if that's a route he's going to take. And to be honest, if he was going to do it, he would have probably done it this week with all these games coming up. So, yes, I would like him to bring someone in, but it's important the club don't force someone on him.
Okay, and I see where you're coming on this. This has to be coming from Kit. Kit has to want the help. If he doesn't want the help, Mike, you're not for it. You want Kit to feel comfortable, so unless he wants the help, you want the help for him. But you are kind of like me on this. You know, you want him to have another set of eyes where he can, you know, be in the dugout with him and basically, you know, bounce ideas off of if something's not working. Say, hey, let's try this. That's where I'm coming from on this. I just think it couldn't hurt. But I agree with you. I think someone from the outside would be a big help for him. But you know, and to David's point, I understand it has to be the right fit. But I like where you're going on this. You know, for you, it has to come from him because you got to want help. That's actually a very good point by you. Because if he doesn't want the help, then is it going to work anyway? So that's a very good point there, Mike. Very good, David. What are your thoughts about that? Before I go to the Fulham supporters. Do you think, you know, it has to come from Kit if he wants to help?
Well, that's kind of what I was hinting at as well, that if the club just forced someone on him that he doesn't like or doesn't, he's never worked with, then it basically makes his position untenable almost in a way. So, yeah, it's got to come from Kit. But this is the problem that, as I said to you, Kit, will he want to do that? Because that's almost, in some ways, admitting failure that, you know, he can't do it on his own. And I know it does. So it shows strength to come forward and say, look, I'm not coping, please help me out. In another
yeah.
way, obviously, you know, it does in a way undermine, say, well, look, actually, I'm not good enough for this, I need someone else. So I just get this mindset, for me, that Kit believes he's doing everything right and, you know, he's doing the best he can and that he's oblivious to maybe these other things, you know. I'm sure privately, you know, he'll turn around and say, oh, maybe I should have done this or maybe I should have done this, but I don't think he feels he's doing too much wrong. And you know, this is the question, how much is he doing wrong? How much is down to him? How much down to the players? How much down to everything else that we've talked about? But at the end of the day, the buck does stop with him at team level because,
yes.
you know, Shahid Khan doesn't pick the team. You know, Alistair McIntosh doesn't pick the team. Kit picks the team and the formation, and that's his responsibility. And something does need to change at team level as well as maybe at club level. I think there are issues throughout the club. But at team
right.
level, something needs to change because it's not working for Kit at the moment. The opposition, I think, have found us out, as I said in my article about the diamond. They know
yep.
how to counter us and put us under pressure. And he needs to do something different. And if he can't do that, then either he's not the right man for the job or he needs someone there who can advise him and help him to do that.
Right. And,
you know,
right.
We said
and that's
on Tuesday.
Right.
You know, as we said on Tuesday, you, me and Mike, we all agreed at the end of the show that something needs to change fast.
No, it does, David, and that's why, you know, I wanted to suggest, and Mike had mentioned, we've already talked about this. I just wanted to go into a little bit more detail on this and get the thoughts from the phone supporters, and I'm going to share them right now, and then we can talk about that. Then we'll move on to item number two. Chris Barr wrote on the Cutter Talk Facebook page, "I'm not sure that getting a decent coach in would help, to be honest. Let's just say the results do pick up all of a sudden. People will be calling for whoever this new guy is to be manager. It might make sense for us, but it definitely does not make sense for Kit." Okay. Simon Rugg writes, "Yes." Roger Lewis, "No. Kit just needs to get rid of the diamond, play with, and get Smith and McCormack playing together again." Very interesting take by Roger. Anthea Evans, our friend from New Zealand, "Only if Kit wants an assistant." Now, this goes to what you guys are talking about. "It should not be imposed upon him, but if he feels he needs help and has someone he can trust and work with, then so well and good." Agreeing with Mr. Holly from last show. Interesting. Martin Atkins, "No, all the assistance and advice he could possibly need is freely available on Facebook, often in real time." How about that, guys? Billy Rodber wrote, "No, it's a manager. We need our squad. We need our squad is better than most of this league. Just poor coached managed." Let's see what else. Liam Byrne, "Yes, there needs to be a more experienced head in there somewhere." Ruth McDougall, "No." Okay, so those are the comments from the from some of the phone supporters. And Mike, what are your thoughts about what I just read from the fans?
Yeah, well, they all tend to agree, don't they? Really, that it's a case that he has to make a change somewhere. And just to go back a bit, I mean, it's not a case of the club saying, "Right, you're having, you know, Kirby sitting next to you, and that's it." I mean, it's down to the club as well and the management there to sort of, you know, have a chat with Kit and say, "Look, do you need help?" And is Kit too stubborn? You know, is he too proud for it? He shouldn't be, really, because there's plenty of managers who have a older assistant manager, or, you know, that bloke just helps them have a look at things with fresh eyes, like I said. And, you know, it's very easy to say, yeah, play Matt Smith, play, you know, get rid of Diamond. You know, it's a combination of factors. You know, players who are out of a team are always better than players who are in a team that's doing badly, so you have to be careful there. But we're all looking for answers. We're all trying to help Kit. This is another thing, you know. I mean,
right.
You know, there's other people who don't want him out there, who don't want him in the dugout, want someone else. But the fact is, he is in charge. But since Boxing Day, we just have, you know, we've gone stale, and that's why I really do think he just needs, you know, just needs someone to come in, even if it's just for a few days, just to change a few things around and just have come back with some advice. And
exactly.
I'd try something, because we, you know, if we win tomorrow, everyone's going to be happy. But then we've got another four hard games. And, you know, he has not shown enough flexibility, unfortunately, in his tactics and in his team picks that make me think that we're going to turn things around this coming week, which is obviously disappointing, because I want him to do well.
Yeah, so do I, Mike. I think we all do. And, you know, and that's what's, you know, disappointing about this situation. It's a learning process. And going back to what David and I were talking before, you know, I personally want Kit to succeed. And, you know, again, is he stubborn? I don't know. I mean, again, you know, I would think that if things aren't working, he would be open to help. So, again, that's why, again, I'm just throwing it out there, maybe a fresh set of eyes, like you said, could not hurt. Let me ask you, Mike, because, again, we talked about this on the last show. Mike Rigg, do we know his current situation with the FA and with Fulham? Have you heard anything definitive on Mike Rigg?
No, only that he was working his notice out with the FA, and he was doing consulting work, or certainly, you know, popping into the club. But as to an official start, I've seen March mentioned, but whether that's early March, late March, I have no idea. Certainly, if we don't hear anything in the next week and a half, we've got an FST meeting with the club, I think, Tuesday week. So we'll certainly be asking the question then, if we haven't heard by then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be curious to have clarification on that, Mike, because, again, it's an interesting situation. Again, he was hired back in, what was it, late December, early January, and here we are. We're in February, and I understand he has other commitments, but I'm just, you know, again, curious exactly what his role is. Like you said, is it a consultant right now? Is it, you know, is he really just finishing up his time with the FA? I'm just curious exactly, because I've heard rumblings we talked about in the last show of March, you know, again, but then I'm thinking that he's got to be involved somehow. You know, again, this is his job, but again, there's been no clarification on exactly what's going on with him, so that's why I wanted to bring that up. And if you do get a chance at the next meeting, maybe, you know, maybe bring that up if there's no clarification before that. All right, let's move on, David. I'll start with you on the next question, because you and I pretty much talked about this already, but let's move on. And let's talk about my second Cutterstock Facebook question. During the emergency loan period, which positions would you like the club to address, and which players do you have in mind? David, what players do you have in mind? What positions do you have in mind?
Goalkeeper, okay. Right midfield. Goalkeeper, right midfield, and, you know, potentially attacking sort of central midfield playmaker as well. But I think if we get a good right midfielder in, then we could play the 4-4-2 a lot better with the people that we already have. We have the four central midfielders already. You'd think
right.
You could get two good ones out of that, wouldn't you? Goalkeeper still, because I just don't like having pyjamas there as a first reserve, I'm afraid.
Okay.
And yeah, right midfield, because I can't really identify the only person who can play right midfield at the moment that we have is probably Christensen, I think, unless you start talking about playing one of the right backs there, and then it starts to get weird, because we've already said we don't like to see, you know, Ruiz played in out of position. We don't like to see McCormack played out of position. So do we want to see a right back played as right midfield? I'm not really sure about that. So
yeah.
I think, you know, and we're being hurt on crosses and we're being hurt on width. It's about time we try to redress the balance and start doing that. But saying that,
listen,
I
definitely
right
hear with you hear you on the right side of the midfield. I'm not going to disagree with you there. I know your issues with goalkeepers, so I'm not going to disagree with you there. Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this. Is there a position that stands out to you? Would it be on the right side of the midfield? Would it be on the left side of the midfield? Would it be the goalkeeper? Would it be fullback? I'm curious. Or could it even be striker? I'm curious. What would you do?
It definitely needs to be the midfield roles. I'm still not convinced by any of the midfielders we have that they can play that defensive midfielder, somebody to shield the back four. I just don't see any of them do it. Hoogland maybe is probably the best of all the players we have at sort of just sitting and not doing a lot and just stopping play. But the fact is, you know, he's not available certainly tomorrow. And I don't think he's going to be, you know, 100% fit and last a dozen games for the rest of the season. So for me, it would be that. It would be a defensive, you know, fighter in the middle of the pitch there to help us. And
okay.
I have to agree with Dave. You know, I missed the beginning where you were talking about Williams going out, but
yes.
I don't know what Dave said. But me personally, it made no sense at all.
Thank you.
Because we're short of wingers. And I can't believe the short-termism of some fans saying, oh, you know, it's okay, let him go out and get some games. We haven't got any, I was going to swear there, we haven't got any wide men. And even if he wasn't in the 18, he was an option. So unless we're going to bring in a right midfielder, it just made no sense to me, because that all it leaves is Kaká and Roberts, really, as natural wide men. Because you're not going to bring in any of the under-21s.
Well, Sean Kavanagh could potentially play that role too, Mike.
Well, yeah, but again, you're talking about, you know, I know he's done a decent little job there. He's more of a defensive wide man on the left. But again, it's, you know, playing full-backs in those kind of positions. And if you're going to go down the Moulinson route, which he did for his last couple of games, which is basically, you know, four at the back, five in midfield, as defensive as possible, which I could agree with you. If I saw a lineup like that for certain games. But really, it just made no sense because Williams is one of those, okay, he's not done great, but he's got pace and he's direct and, you know, it just made no sense. So, yeah, a midfielder, a right midfielder especially, unless he's going to give Roberts a run, which he's shown no evidence that he's going to do that.
Okay.
Otherwise, it looks like it's going to be Ruiz. So those two really, don't think we need a striker. I think we're okay centre-back-wise, unless he's going to break that up.
Okay. Before I share the thoughts of the Fulham supporters, is there anyone that you have in mind, Mike, that if you could bring in, you'd bring in?
To be honest, no. I mean, it's a case of the club are going to know who's available. We can all pick names out and go through squads, but there's no one who jumps at me to say, yeah, let's go and get in. Certainly no players, because I think I know where you're going.
David, how about you?
No, I mean, I agree with Mike. It's we can speculate all you like, but I have no idea really who is out there, who may be available, who not. But it's just, you know, it's finding the right people to play these positions, isn't it? And you know,
yeah,
Mike's right about Williams, because Williams was, I think this is where Kit perhaps is a bit too stubborn. You know, he should have really seen Williams as someone who can play on the right, because he is a wide man, he is right-footed, and he should have kept him there for that option. And yes, I agree that sending him, if they're not going to give him games, send him out on loan. But obviously, perhaps, you know, he should have looked at things a bit differently. You know, and we said obviously with Kaká coming back, it hasn't helped Williams' cause. Well, unfortunately, you know, it's that man again as well. Him coming back hasn't helped Williams' cause either, I guess. So, you know. There's only so many players you can have in there, but, you know,
I think
Ruiz gone, I think that may have been different for Williams as well.
Interesting. You could be right on that. You know, I didn't even think about Ruiz affecting George, but you could be right. But I agree with Mike. I didn't want to see him go out, and I'm still upset about that. So, and I see where Mike is going on. I'm with Mike on that. I would rather have him here, you know, again, pure wide man, I think he could do a job in certain situations. I disagree with sending him out. That's just my opinion on that. All right, guys, here are the thoughts from the Fulham supporters. Are you ready, David?
Go on.
You ready? Are you sure you're ready?
I'm perfectly ready.
Okay, here we go. Okay, this is on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Alan Hammersley wrote, bring back Steve Sidwell on loan. And Matt Smith, our player, scoring goals for another side. Eric Lindstrom wrote, I don't think Kit will bring in more players, but I think we need some experienced players that will secure our place in the championship. Roger Lewis wrote, some big, hairy, tough, nasty buggers to dish out what we've been getting from other sides. Very interesting point by Roger. Chris Cox, right back, and a Roger Brown type at the back. Matthew Camp, right mid, wouldn't mind Gnabry from Arsenal, or Sean Wright Phillips from QPR for a bit of pace on the wing. And Sankey Gorgos wrote Graham Dorns, but I believe Graham Dorns just went out on loan to Norwich, so that ain't going to happen, unfortunately. But those are just some of the names. And David, just had to read that because the minute I saw Steve Sidwell, I had to get your thoughts on that.
Well, my thoughts are it would be incredibly short-sighted. Someone that, you know, wasn't good enough last year for us, someone who's well over 30. We really don't want to be looking at this. You know, I know you can't. You can't say there's never an exception to the rule, because there always is an exception to the rule, but
right.
Someone. I really wouldn't be looking to get anyone over 30 or someone who's left here because they weren't good enough in the first place, perhaps. And you can argue it wasn't that, but no, I think. And Sidwell, what would you do with Sidwell anyway? What on earth would you do with him? We've got four central midfielders already, and Sidwell could certainly not play that defensive one that Mike says. I mean, you know, he'd be the worst one of the lot to play that defensive midfield role. So,
no, I hear you on that, David. On that point, I do understand that. You know, for me, but again, it's a different position. You know, I would love to see Kieran Richardson back at the club, but again, you need someone on the right like you guys are talking about, so I could see why that wouldn't be possibly the right fit there. Mike, what are your thoughts about what I read from the Fulham supporters?
I knew it, didn't I, that it would be Sidwell mentioned. And I have to agree with Dave. I mean, you just end up with him and Parker again in midfield, and no creativity and lots of free kicks given away on the edge of the box. So, you know, for every goal Sidwell scored last year, you know, it was crossed out because he gave away so many free kicks that led to goals. So it's just going backwards, and I'd be disappointed if we bring back any old players, to be honest. We need to be looking afresh, looking at players even potentially we could get for next year, even if they come in on loan. You know, we need to be planning as well as trying to get points for the rest of this season. So I'd hope we were a bit more creative than just getting last year's phone book out and calling next players.
I see where you're going on that, Mike. You know, again, I'm about the long term, so I'm not going to disagree with some of your thoughts there, because I'd like to see if they could bring in someone that could help longer than a short-term loan. You know, again, you could bring someone in for short-term, maybe it could lead somewhere, but I see where you're going on that. All right, guys, let's move on from those two Facebook questions and to your articles. And again, Mike, I want to mention before I go to you, you wrote a very interesting article. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to start with David's article. And David, for a first-time effort to write an article about Fulham, I have to give you 10 out of 10. I thought your article was excellent. I'm being very honest here. You had an excellent take, and we're going to talk about it right now. You can read it on cottagersconfidential.espnation.com, David Howley's first article, and it's entitled, Could the Return of Brian Ruiz Spell the End for Kit Simons? Now, David's article is about Brian Ruiz, but it really is more to do with the diamond formation, I think, and Kit potentially continuing to use Ruiz in that formation. So, again, let's talk about it. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Did you get a chance to read David's article?
Yes, I did, and it was very good. And although Dave knows it did make me laugh, him ending it, you know, it wasn't about Ruiz, but it is, really. And what he brings to the team in the fact that he's going to have to play. So the only way, everyone is in agreement, you know, there's only two ways he can play. It's either the top of the diamond or as one player behind another striker,
right,
which I think is a mistake. Because I personally like to have two proper strikers playing up front. Saying that, because we need to tighten up, get some points, I could see the argument in doing that. But with him and McCormick up front, because it would obviously have to be McCormick.
That would be the only way you could do it, I think.
Exactly. We would lack some pace up front, and you would have to look at getting the two fastest guys wide. And, of course, we just let one of those guys go, so on loan. So, again, that doesn't make sense. You end up having, even if you went really defensive and had Kavanagh on the left, and let's say, for argument's sake, Grimmer or Hoogland on the right, you would have nothing going forward, really. You know, if you had Parker and Tannacliffe or Parker and LVC, and it would be like, you know, two banks of four, and then you two up front, we hope to get you the ball and see if we create something. And so it doesn't work that way. But as an article, it was very good. It was good arguments. And I know Dave's got some good responses to it. And, yeah, for a first article, it was very good. And, you know, it raised a lot of points. And I think, you know, there is an element of truth that Ruiz coming back, although lots of fans love him and see all this, you know, great play from him, which I must admit I don't always see, has, you know, we're stuck with him in a way. And it's going to affect us for the rest of the season. And he's really going to have to pay it back. And tomorrow will be interesting to see if he's willing to put in the effort. I know he's got some kind of bug, and I hope that's not going to be used as some excuse, because it needs to be all hands on deck tomorrow at Millwall, and he's going to have to pull his finger out and work hard and help us get the 3 points. But Dave's quite right. It really only gives us two formations if he actually starts the game.
You know what, and that's why, very interesting take that David has here, because, again, it also involves McCormack. His article also involves McCormack, going to your point, Mike, because, again, if you did go to the 4-4-1-1, which you're against, you would have then McCormack and then Ruiz behind him, but you just brought up all the reasons why that could be disastrous, you know, for lack of pace up front. I mean, that could be horrible. So, again, that doesn't make sense. So that kind of leaves you with a diamond, and that's David's point. Does this force us to use a diamond? David, I'm going to go back to you on this because, again, it was a very thought-provoking article, but I'm going to throw this back to you because I don't agree with this. Why does Brian Ruiz have to play every match? Why can't we pick and choose? Why does he have to be part of what's going on with Fulham Forward? He is a player that has talent. We all know this. I'm not going to doubt Brian Ruiz's talent. This goes back to my problem, potential problem with Brian Ruiz. You know, if he does not want to be at Fulham, do you want someone out there that is not fully committed? We don't know this. You know, again, I read, you know, Kyle Bond had a very interesting article with comments from Ruiz in it, you know, which kind of lends you to think that maybe, you know, again, he's not happy that he's playing in the championship. I'm paraphrasing, but I can understand that. So here's my question to you. Would you rather – I know how you feel about Ruiz, but why does he have to play every match?
Well, no, my only concern about Ruiz personally is he suited to playing when he doesn't want to be here? You know, can we guarantee that he'll give us 100%? That's my only concern.
Right.
My concern otherwise is not about Ruiz, it's about the system. But I just feel that Kit is of the mind, really, that if Ruiz is available, he's going to play him, regardless. And
right.
I don't agree with that, because no one should be really... Well, apart from Bettinelli, should be guaranteed a starting place, I think.
I totally agree with that, David. That's why I liked your article and your take. I'm not against Brian Ruiz playing. You know, if he's committed to Fulham for the rest of the time, I'm all for it. But there are certain situations where it just doesn't make sense for him to play, and Kit should have the ability, if he doesn't feel that this is a Ruiz type of game, to sit him out. You know, that's my point on this. There should not be a guaranteed spot except for Bettinelli. Very good point by you. And I guess that's why I enjoyed your article, because you're also talking about the formation, because it really, you know, again, one kind of goes with the other, because, you know, it doesn't leave you with many options. You know, Brian Ruiz is really meant for that diamond,
yeah.
David.
That's what I'm saying. It's that Ruiz really can only play in those two positions, either as a second striker or as the cam.
4-4-1-1.
And if Kit's always going to pick him, then we are kind of forced to play in that. I mean, yes, you can
right.
go to that 4-4-2 with Ruiz on the right, like we've seen before, but we know that doesn't work either. Martin Yole used to do it. And I gave Damien Duff as the perfect kind of example to two left-footed players who've played in that role. And I think it's completely, you know, there's no comparison, is there, to what Damien Duff offered in that role as to what Ruiz has offered in that role. So, yeah, that's my concern, is that Kit has too much faith in him, which then means we're going to play this formation. I haven't got a problem with Ruiz playing. If Ruiz can play and do the business, that's fine, but it's the problems it creates by him being in the team or by us playing the diamond formation. That's the issue, because we've just seen how narrow we are. Even at Craven Cottage, which is a narrow pitch, we've had opposition teams at us week in, week out, right, you know, putting pressure on our fullbacks. And, you know, Mike would know this, and, you know, Mike's sort of thought at times I've been a bit hard on Grimmer and stuff, but the problem is it's been the same for all the fullbacks who have played, really, with this system, because, you know, the opposition right back and left back are able to push right up onto our fullbacks and able to get crosses in. And we've been conceding crosses, we've been conceding corners, you name it.
Right.
If we played with two wide men, you know, you'd like to think that their wide men are going to struggle to get past the halfway line. And from there, they can't hurt us. They would have to come through the middle then. And then, you know, at least we've blocked something off.
Right, David. And that, and again, that's what made your article so interesting, because you're talking about the weaknesses of Fulham. You know, again, you know, on the flanks, on both sides, you know, again, our fullbacks, you know, dealing with the issues that they have coming at them with the crosses, you know, again, which leads to the corners, you know, all those problems that they have, you know, playing this narrow formation. And again, nothing against Jack Grimmer or Kostas Stafoulidis, but I think, you know, again, they could be having issues just by playing this formation. You know, again, it could be causing them problems. And, you know, again, it becomes, you know, they're under attack fairly often. And maybe that's partially because of the diamond formation, which leads you back to, if he's going to play Brian Ruiz, then you're probably going to play the diamond formation. And And Mike, again, this kind of goes back to something that you've said over and over again. You want a 4-4-2. And is this part of the reason why, Mike, I'm sorry, because of the issues that we have with the weaknesses of wide men for coming at the the wide men coming at our fullbacks? Is this part of the reason why you want the 4-4-2?
Well, partly, especially after what we've seen. But I mean, I looked at last season and a couple of other seasons, and I think it's borne out by the games we've watched this year, is that the Championship is a very basic league, and teams tend to set up with, you know, two banks of four nearly all the time. There's a couple of teams who might play 4-3-3, but you know, it's pretty standard football. Get the ball wide, get forward, attack the fullbacks, and with us playing the diamond for, you know, 90% of the season, that's why we're letting in so many crosses and, you know, our fullback, every fullback. It can't be coincidence that every fullback who has played has looked poor. And, I mean, they can't all be poor. So, you know, it's down to the way we've been playing. But it's always been 4-4-2 for me, because I think that's what would get you up. And then also the defenders in this league are not good enough, so you need two players right on top of the defenders, because they're going to make mistakes, and so that's the way I look at it. But also, it's the old Roy thing: two banks of four, defend first of all. And you know, I'm sure if we, you know, we worked hard at that, we would see improvements, certainly in reduction in crosses and attacks on our fullback, that's for sure. But
okay,
just go back on Ruiz. Me personally, my own view is, given some of the statements that he's come out with, you know, which is basically, I don't want to be here, I'm only playing here because if it was me, he wouldn't be playing. It's quite simple as that. You know, I've always been like that. If you don't want to play for my club, don't play. You're not playing. I don't care how good you are. Okay? So, gardening leave, whatever you want to do with him, but, you know, personally, he wouldn't be near the side given what he said. If that's his real feeling. So I wouldn't even be worrying about formations because he wouldn't even be near it.
Okay. Now, Mike, that's kind of where I am, and I'm not against Brian Ruiz playing for Fulham. Again, I go back to, is he committed to play? Is he willing to give Fulham 110%? And, again, I read the comments. I read all this. It doesn't sound like to me he wants to be a Fulham. So if I'm in charge of Fulham, I probably feel similar to you, and I probably wouldn't play him. That's why I go back to David's article and say, well, why do you have to play him? Because he's there. You know, like, because he's there. No, you don't have to, you know, unless you feel that he can give you the type of player that he is. If he can give you the quality and is committed to the team, I'm not against playing Brian Ruiz. But if he has this attitude that he doesn't want to be there, you know, that's a judgment Kit needs to make. And I agree with you, Mike. If it's me in charge and he has a poor attitude, doesn't want to be there, I don't play him. I agree with you 100% on that. I understand how talented he is. But if he doesn't want to play for my club, then he doesn't play for my club. I agree with you on that, Mike. That point, you and I are in total lockstep. Brian Ruiz doesn't want to play for Fulham Football Club. Why should he play for Fulham Football Club?
And the decision, Russ, the decision on that would be a lot easier if we had another 10 points in the bag and people wouldn't be worried about relegation. The reason he will be played is because potentially he's going to help us get the points. But and that's where a lot of people are coming from. But bang on, if we had another 10 points, people would be a lot harder on him, given those comments. I've seen players get more, and Dave has as well over the years, more abuse for saying they want to leave or they want to go on the transfer list. You know, much less abuse, much less sort of, I'm trying to get the right word here, but, you know, I couldn't believe what he's apparently said. And, you know, Williams has gone out and David says, you know, Ruiz staying has cost Williams, if you like, his place in the squad. So there I am, I've just signed a new contract being Williams, and now I'm shipped out because some player who doesn't even want to play for us, you know, can't wait to get out to a team that's going to get relegated from the Liga, and, you know, I've lost my place. Well, that's highly motivated me, hasn't it? Sorry about that, a bit of a rant there.
No, that's okay, Mike. I actually appreciate the rant, and I went on my own rant, and David's article got me to go on my rant, so there you go there. And listen, I like Brian Ruiz as a player. Like I said, I watched him plenty of times play for Costa Rica, and he's played very well for Costa Rica. Unfortunately for Fulham, hasn't been the same, and I guess I'm still waiting for that player to show up, which really hasn't shown up, and I understand the frustration. But I go back, I read the article, and I got to be honest with you, when I read Kyle's article, I was upset by it. I was upset by it, and I felt the way you feel, Mike, about it. But like you said, if we're farther up the table, then maybe others are on board with that. But I still feel that way. You know, again, if you don't want to play for Fulham Football Club, you know, fine. Take your money and sit on the bench. You know, I want players that want to play for Fulham Football Club. That's just how I feel on that. All right. Enough talking about Brian Ruiz. Let's move on. And, Mike, let's talk about your article. We're going to talk about your article now. Mike Gregg wrote a very interesting article entitled 2 weeks is a Long Time. In it, Mike states that he believes Fulham need to win 2 out of the next 5 for Kit to keep his job. These 5 matches are Millwall away, Wolves away, Derby at home, Derby County, Watford away, and finally Bournemouth at home. David, I'm going to go to you. Mike stated this in his article, very interesting article. Please do go to vivaelfulham.co.uk to read Mike's article. He goes into more detail, but in it he does say he believes that Fulham need to win 2 out of the next 5 to keep his job. And it looks like David's just dialing out as I'm just about to ask him that, so I'll wait till David calls back in to ask him that. But Mike, would you like to share anything else about your thoughts on Fulham need to win two out of the next 5 for Kit to keep his job?
Yeah, I mean, what I noticed, I knew we had the 3 games coming up next week, and then I looked at the fixtures and then suddenly realised, God, we've got those 3, then we've got a game on the Tuesday, and then a game on the Friday. So suddenly you've got 5 games in the space of 2 weeks. And it sort of made me think, you know, a hell of a lot is going to, at the end of those 2 weeks, we're going to know where we are. Are we going to be okay in the middle of the table, or are we going to be suffering for the last 10 games trying to get 4 or 5 wins to get enough points to stay out? So that's what led me to write the article, and also looking at the 5 games, you know, 4 of them against the top 8.
Yep.
Every team has beaten us this year. You know, everything just looks bad. And the fact we're going to play Millwall, who are having a bad run, and we're an easy touch for a lot of sides when they need to get a result. And that's what my point was, is we need to get a result in the next 2 games. If we don't, then I fear for Kit. I really do, because I believe the hierarchy would panic. Well, not panic. I think they'd make a decision, because I'm a big fan of Kit, as you know, and I know you are, Russ, and we
yeah.
want him to do well. If he does well, the club does well, and everyone's happy. But in the end, I'm going tomorrow, and if we put in a poor performance and don't get a win, he's going to lose the support of the majority of fans. That's absolutely without a doubt. I reckon it's about 55% at the moment who are happy with him. And then straight away we've got Wolves away on Tuesday. And if he doesn't get a win there, then I can't see him being in charge on Derby. So I would
okay.
hope, in a way, that the club have someone in mind that they can call to come in and take over straight away. Because there's no one in the club, you know, who has the coaching ability. You know,
right.
Peter Grant's in charge of the under-21s, but I don't think anyone's going to accept that. And, you know, I don't want it to happen. I want us to get a win. But really, yeah, these 5 games are going to decide what happens going forward. Does Kit stay and we go into the summer and then into next year with him? Or does he even survive the rest of the season? Because we need to get results.
Interesting, you know, because you really made me think about that, Mike. You know, thinking about these next 5 matches, I went through them. It's like, okay, Mike's got a point. Even though the matches after, there are some winnable matches after that, but the question is, these next 5 matches putting us in a precarious situation because they are tough. You really nailed that. All right, David, I want to get your thoughts on Mike's article here, where he does state he believes Fulham need to win 2 out of 5 for Kit to keep his job. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very interesting and quite a very bold statement by Mike. To be honest with you, I can't believe that we are at that point already. I would be absolutely shocked if that happened. I wouldn't be shocked by the results, because the way we're playing at the moment, unless something changes, I can't really see how we're going to start picking up a lot of points. But I would be really shocked if what Mike says comes true. And I'm not saying it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, because I think, you know, Mike is talking from opinion. I saw what Mike had a rule of thumb on Twitter, something about lose five on the trot and you're gone. And that's a really sad state of affairs, because it doesn't give you a lot of chance. Not really. But I guess the point will come, like last season, where panic sets in. And if it looks like we're gone into free fall, a drastic decision may be made to try and arrest that. Now, experience will tell you that last year it didn't help at all. And in a way, you know, it's made Kit's jobs harder this year, because we were stuck, you know, with a mad idiot for the first eight games, of course. So our whole summer and pre-season and everything and start of the season was a waste, I guess. Well, it mostly was, because, you know, we had to make this change again. So you've got to be very, very cautious about making drastic changes like this. But, you know, as we said earlier, it's probably easier to change everyone wholesale than it is to try and find people to come in who can work with the existing regime. That's a difficult job, isn't it, to find a number two who can work with the manager, who the manager's happy to work with. I would be shocked if what Mike says is true. I'm not saying it's not right that it would happen, because clearly things are not working at the moment. But I would be really shocked to see that, because I think it's very, very possible we could lose against Millwall and against Wolves, to be honest with you, the way things are at the moment. Very, very possible. So does that mean really the decision we made that quickly? I would be astounded. I suppose one thing is good out of it. We get to do an extra show next week if that happens, don't we?
Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that to be the reason, David, honestly. I don't want that to be the reason. And I see where Mike's going on this, because the heat's going to be on. But I tend to lean more towards your thinking, David. I couldn't imagine that Khan would pull the trigger, but it would make it definitely, there'd be an argument to be made. There'd be an argument to be made if they were not to get clear, you know, fully clear of the relegation zone, and two wins could quite possibly do it. Mike, do you think if we you know, again, I read your article, so I should answer that. You do think that if we won two out of the next five, we're pretty much safe at this point?
It would certainly make, you know, we've got a run of games certainly in March and April where we should pick up enough points. I mean, let's be honest, if we can't get 15, 16 points from the remaining 15 games, then we deserve to go down. But
right.
You know, and I'm not advocating that a change be made. I'm just saying that I think, given the fact that, I mean, I was quite, when, you know, I thought, well, how have we done since Christmas? And, you know, we're in the bottom three on four. We've got, you know, 7 points from nine games. That will, if we lose the next two, that's 7 points from 11 games. Where's the form coming from? Where you know, where's the change? And you're expecting us to then, you know, we're going to, you know, Derby have got our number. If we get anything from that game, that'd be amazing. So then you're looking at another game. And then so you're down to 12 games looking at trying to get 15 points, you know, or five wins out of 12. And, you know, when we've only won two out of 12. So it's just stacking up against him. The whole team needs a win tomorrow and a performance. I mean, I just really do think the club will look at things in the sort of way that I've done. Look at the results, look at the performances, and just say, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, there is a real danger here that, you know, he's not able to turn it around. And so that's why they need to all stand up tomorrow and get our result. It will be horrendous if we lose tomorrow. And, I mean, you know, Wolves are not going to be easy. So, yeah, these five games, I can't see how he can... How, if he doesn't get a win in the next five, he survives. You know, you've got to give anyone, if you're going to panic, make a change, you need to give them 10 games. And right. The end of those five games, there's a week. There's a week break, and, you know, or 7 days for the next game. And if you're going to make a change, I suppose that would be the time to do it. But you're not giving yourself much breathing room. You know, if we go for these five games without winning, you basically have to win five out of the last 10. You know, so everything starts, stacking up like it did last year. And can we really be honest and look at the team and say they've got the guts and the fight in them as it stands today to do that? I don't see it, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, listen, if they cannot get anything out of the next five, I agree with you there. I think the pressure is going to be on. I do think that, Mike, if they are, say, to win the next two, which, you know, David brings up a point, well, he could see them losing the next two. David, I could see them winning the next two. You know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been that impressed with Wolves. I could see them going to Wolves and winning. I could see them beating Millwall. So, again, I could play that game, too. I could see them winning both. But that's how close these matches are. Unfortunately, like Mike had mentioned, when you're talking about Derby County and Bournemouth and Watford, who basically pummeled us, those are the three that you look at, like, where are they going to get something from? And I don't know. That's why these next two are, I hate to put it, they're crucial. So that's why I see where you're going on this, Mike. And again, very, very, very interesting article by Mike Gregg. Please do go to Viva El Fulham and read Mike Gregg. Very interesting. And, of course, David had a fantastic article on CottagersConfidential.SBNation.com. Please do read my co-host. They really really had two excellent articles today that I'd highly recommend everyone reading. All right, guys. We've got a little less than 23 minutes. Have either one of you heard Kit's or saw Kit's interview with Sarah? David, have you had a chance to see it?
No, I didn't. I read the notes on the website, but I didn't see the interview.
Okay. And Mike, how about yourself?
Yeah, I did see it. And can I say he looks very tired?
He does.
He looks under pressure. And it wasn't the greatest interview in the world, I have to say.
Okay. Well, you know, again, there's nothing real earth-shattering in this interview, and I usually do play the interview, but again, we're a little short of time, so I think we're going to move on from it. That's the reason why I asked you, David. There's nothing, you know, again, like I thought the one before that, there were some interesting tidbits, and not that there's not interesting stuff, but if you want to see Kit's interview with Sarah Brooks, please do go to fulhamfc.com. You could see that. But I think that just for the sake of time, unfortunately, we're going to have to move on and start our preview of this Millwall match. And just tell you a little bit about Millwall. They're currently 22nd. They've won 7. They have 9 draws, 15 losses. They've scored 28. They've given up 48 for a goal differential of negative 20, and they are on 30 points. Fulham are at 19th with 10 victories, 5 draws, 16 losses. Fulham have scored 44. They've given up 55 for a minus 11, and we have 35 points. So we are 5 points ahead of Millwall going into this match. In the last 5, Millwall, they have won 1, they have 1 draw, and they have 3 losses. Again, player to watch, you know, again, if you go on the FulhamFC.com website, they have a nice little blurb about Diego Fabini in midfield. That's a player that I would recommend you checking out. Ricardo Fola is their leading goal scorer with 6 goals. And the last couple matches, I just looked back at the last couple matches, they do play the 4-2-3-1. I'm assuming that's what they will play, but who knows with Ian Holloway, the manager for Millwall. And Mike, I'm just going to start with you, and then David, I'll go to you. Just your thoughts on Millwall this season.
Well, yeah, I've been, you know, surprised at how badly they've been doing. And if you go to some websites, you'll see a graph of positions after every game, and their graph looks like a ski ramp. And basically, they're at the bottom of it now. And the only thing stopping them hitting the bottom is the fact that, there's 2 worst teams under them. So, they've got that 22nd position all theirs for the last 7 or 8 games. So, they've been disappointing, you know, but it just shows you, you know, Holloway, people talk about who to bring in as managers, and Holloway has a good reputation, but even he can't get his team going. So, they have been a disappointment, I suppose, from what I thought they would do pre-season. And they've their home record is horrendous, and
yep.
it has been for quite a while now. And so, really, if we're, you know, we're talking about having to win a game, is there a better team to play at the moment? And I possibly don't think there is. But the question is, are we going to roll over? You know, do we need to get in there and fight and get those 3 points? And, yeah, best team to play, but, you know, given our record, who knows? But, they have been disappointing, but they're a team we should be beating. If we think we're a mid-table to upper mid-table side or have those players, then we're better than them and we should be beating them easy.
See, I totally agree with you on that. And real quick before I go to David, what are your thoughts about Ian Holloway? You just touched on him a little bit.
Well, he's kind of his son.
I'm sorry, David. I was just going to ask Mike, and then I'm going to go to you. I'm sorry.
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Well, he's one of those managers, isn't he? You're looking at getting out the championship or a good championship manager. You know, he has that reputation. Yeah, he's a bit, you know, left field, and he does some odd stuff and comes out with things. But, you know, if you're looking for a manager, he could be one of the possibilities. But it hasn't worked this year, which just proves, you know, there is no magic bullet about picking a manager who has experience. It's down to the players in the end a lot of the time, and they obviously haven't got good enough players at the club at this moment in time.
Yeah, you know, listen, if you look at their starting 11, you know, it's just, you know, again, it's just an average championship side. Nothing wrong with it. They're an average championship side that's actually playing a little bit lower than that, obviously, in the relegation zone, and they're not having a good season. And, David, sorry about that. I just wanted Mike to tackle those two things because I'm going to have you tackle three things. First of all, I just want to get your thoughts on Millwall. And are you disappointed where they are, or do you think their season, you know, did you expect them to be where they are? And also, I want to get your thoughts on Ian Holloway.
Well, they only survived narrowly last year, didn't they? So they kind of... they haven't moved on from last season. Ian Holloway, obviously, he's got this reputation for playing this sort of open, attacking, enjoyable football, I suppose. Obviously, that was coined, especially in his time at Blackpool. And, you know, he is a bit left field, as Mike says. You know, he's a bit of a character. But I think most people find him, you know, humorous. He has a good sense of humour. And I think he's a fairly honest chap from what I've seen. I don't think he's one of these who comes out and, you know, he puts his heart on his sleeve. If they've played badly, he'll say that. He won't make excuses and everything for that. I think out of probably the people out there, there would be a lot worse choices than someone like him at Fulham. But I'm not sure if long-term he is the sort of man who can stay with the club a long time. Perhaps he can do a job. But I don't know. Like everyone, it seems to go a bit sour for him after a while. Yeah, Millwall, they are where they are. Again, table doesn't lie. Were poor last season. Haven't moved on from it this season. Obviously, you know, they got us earlier on when we were really poor under Felix, which doesn't help. And so, you know, it's not going to be easy because, you know, we've touched on it already. We seem to be a charity case for struggling sides, and that's really one of the things that peeves me so much, you know. You just want to see us go out there and slap one. Even Martin Yole could manage that, you know, when we played QPR at home, the 6-0.
Yep.
Okay, Christina was there that day, so maybe that was what the factor was. But, you know, just you want to do that. And when was the last time we did that? I mean, you know, okay, the Sheffield Wednesday game, I suppose, was a pleasing result. But we don't do it enough, I don't think, really. And this is a game where, you know, if there's questions about Kit, if he could go out tomorrow to a local match and go to South East London and go and sort of really put a few goals past them, it would shut up all his critics a bit. A bit like, you know, we had the Crystal Palace match where we played poorly perhaps at times, but the wonder strikes from Kasami and Sidwell, they probably saved Martin Yole's bacon for quite a long time. So, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not, you know, particularly impressed. Did you want me to talk about the ref as well?
Yes, I do.
The ref, we've got no much time, and I don't know very much about the ref, but his name is Keith Hill. He hasn't ref Fulham this season at all, so, again, no idea, but there's nothing particularly nasty about him online, so, you know, take it as it comes tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, not a problem there, David. All right. Mike, back to you. Again, what did Fulham need to do to win this match? And, you know, you mentioned that at home, Millwall hasn't been good. But traditionally, as I've been told, this is a tough place to play. So what did Fulham need to do to win?
Not let them score first. I mean, the odds
are... We say that at every match.
Yeah, I know. But, they have to win tomorrow. You know, for me, it's the one game out of these five where you're almost putting everything on, getting these 3 points. And we can't afford to let them score first. We have to score first. Their crowd is on their players. You know, there has been some problems down there. You know, with abuse from the fans for their players. So we need to upset them. We need to get their crowd moaning. And so we have to score first, absolutely score first. And we talk about picking teams to be a bit defensive and be a bit more solid. Maybe tomorrow we need to just be a bit more attacking and a little bit less caution to the wind to try and get a goal early on instead of the way kick. Tends to like them to play, which is a bit more cautious. So be positive, and I'd like a bit more of an attacking lineup tomorrow, and just try and get that first goal, absolutely, and shut their fans up because they're going to be vocal.
Yeah.
And fight for everything, because Holloway knows the kind of team we are. He will know that. You know, we roll over quite easily sometimes. He will get his team, no matter how badly they've been doing, they will be pumped up, and he will know how to get a result against us. So it's all hands to the deck tomorrow. No passengers. Everyone's got to be on their game, in hard. You know, no more standing off players, and just try and get that early goal, or you know, just at least not let them score first.
Okay. Very interesting tape there, Mike. Okay, over to you, David.
This is the interesting one, isn't it? You know, do we do that, or do we set up to be more defensive to try and actually achieve what we've been failing to achieve in recent games, which is to not concede an early goal? Now, obviously, in my article, I said that I almost said that we got away with it in the 2000 and 2001 season because we were so attacking and we were so dangerous that it took the pressure off the defence anyway. Attack is the best form of defence. But I don't think we have enough about our attack. Not really. Okay, for 30 minutes against Forest, we showed we could do it. And at that point, it didn't matter who was in defence, really, because what system we had, because we went at them. But as soon as after we went three ahead, then Forest got their foot back in the door, then suddenly it was a different matter with the same team, effectively. So I'm not sure if we have the players to hurt them. Not really. We don't have the width, the super players wide to hurt them. And I'm not sure if we have the super players in the middle, really, striker-wise, most certainly. We have McCormack, but it's a question, who do you pair with him? Because of what it brings to the table. And Corley holds the ball up okay, and Hugo does what he does, but we don't have that complete striker still.
Yeah.
So I think, actually, we need to make sure that we address the defensive issues as much as being attacking. I think the attacking will be okay, but we need to get the basics right tomorrow.
Okay, so for you, it's more of a cautious approach where Mike is basically saying, go all out, attack them.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't say go all out attack, most certainly not, no.
Yeah.
Well, no, I shouldn't have put it that way. I meant that you're, you know, basically just put it on, go for that, like Mike was saying, go for that first goal, put it up, you know, really put pressure on them early, is what Mike was really trying to lead towards.
No, and I do agree with that, but I think we risk leaving ourselves open at the back if we, you know, unless we've got the system right. So
okay.
I think we equally need to address this issue of being narrow and being weak on the flanks.
It's a problem, David. It's a problem. You really analyzed that pretty good in your article. So it'll be interesting to see what Kit decides to do in this match. All right, David, who needs to have an exceptional match for Fulham to get the victory?
Oh, that's a very good one because, you know, we've the usual suspects are always McCormack and LVC. Now, LVC hasn't had an exceptional match for a week, so I would tend to think that you know, if he has a really good game, it could make a big difference. But, you know, it's the game is going to hinge a lot on many factors, isn't it? And, you know, if Brian Ruiz plays, you know, and there's every chance that Kit could pick him, we need him to have an exceptional match then, because he doesn't normally have an exceptional match, but if he can, it could make a difference. But for me, I'm going to stick with my first choice and say it's time for LBC to get back to where he was before his injury break, and I think we need to see the old LBC from earlier in the season, the one that can run at players, the one that can score goals, the one that can create havoc and set up chances, like he did for Hugo early on last time. So, the LBC for me.
LBC for you. I hope he's fit, David. That's my only concern with him. I don't know if he's back to full health yet. Even though he's playing, I don't. Yeah, you know, he just doesn't look like the same player. I don't think he all of a sudden became a bad player. I think he's just my gut feeling. He's still dealing with that injury a little bit. But I hope you're right. I hope he's, you know, again, back to the same player. So I see why you're going with LVC. How about you, Mike?
For me, it's actually Bettinelli, because I don't think whatever we try, we're going to let shots in. Even against the most shy team, we're going to let them have chances. So he's made a couple of mistakes recently, but he needs to be on his game tomorrow. We can't give him any free passes. And so for me, it's him, no matter what we do elsewhere in the field, because he's, you know, he's the busiest person on the pitch most weeks at the moment. So any lapse by him, you know, causes problems for us. So Bettinelli for me.
Bettinelli for you. Okay, fantastic. All right, Mike, I'm going to give you the first shot at this. Give me your starting 11. This is your starting 11 and your formation. This is not what Kit's going to do. This is what Mike Gregg would do as the full manager.
Oh, this is so hard. And going back to what we were just talking about, I mean, I've crossed names out, I've changed formations, I really don't know what way to go tomorrow. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Bettinelli in goal.
Yeah.
I would certainly bring Byrne in. I would bring Byrne in and play him with Hutchinson. And although it's been something that I've wanted to do all season, I'd like Bodroff to... If you're going to go defensive, I would play Bodroff at right back, but that's not going to happen. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure Williams is going to be there. On the left back, I mean, if Kavanagh's fit, I might be tempted, because Stafford, he was to blame for two goals last week. Or, you know, his defending on the second one was just horrendous. But I suspect it will be Stafford. So that would be my back four: Williams, Byrne, Hutchinson, Stafford, Leaders. Parker's going to play. I would play in the LVC in the middle. And I would have Fofana as well. So I'd play those three guys. And I would probably put Kaká in with McCormick and Hugo up front. Now, whether that lines up as 4-4-2 or 4-3-1-2, I'm debating. I'm not really sure, but... I think you have to play LVC. Give LVC a game next to Parker in the middle, and Fofana and Kaká probably on the wings, and McCormick and Hugo up front. But then, you know, part of me wants to play almost Kaká almost as a striker, you know, just to give a bit more movement up front and a bit more, you know, passing ability. I don't know. It's just so... We're limited in what to do, and it's moving deck chairs, really, on the Titanic at times.
Okay, very good. And I'm assuming you meant Jazz Richards at right back, not Williams?
Sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Richards. Yeah,
okay. That's okay, Mike.
But it would be grimmer. In
the ideal world, it would be grimmer. Okay, in the ideal world, it would be grimmer. Okay, not a problem. David, over to you.
I was wondering that as well. I was going to ask, because surely you didn't mean Ryan Williams, did you? I mean, he'd be a bit tired after playing the other team in Fulham the other night, but last night, wasn't it? Bettinelli for me. I think I would stick to the same back four still. I haven't yet identified anyone from the back four that needs to be made a scapegoat of, particularly. And I'm not certain that Byrne would offer anything more. See, if we've got old Ricardo Fuller playing, he's a bit of a tank, and I could see him steamrolling someone like Byrne. whereas someone like Bodiroff would stand up to him pretty well, I think. So I'm going to keep Bodiroff and Hutchinson together, and I assume it will be Jazz Richards and Stafelidis as well. So I assume I'm picking, aren't I? So yes, that's what I'm going to have there.
Okay.
Midfield, in the middle, I still think LVC is better than Fofana in a wider position. So I think I would tend to have, at the moment, in the absence of anyone else, I'm going to have LVC on the right with Fofana and Parker in the middle. The toss-up is still now whether to put Kaká in on the left or to bring Kavanagh in, like I said last week, because I think Kavanagh will offer more of a defensive protection, but he can also use the ball quite well. I haven't been massively impressed with Kaká's crossing ability, to be honest with you. So I would tend to favour Kavanagh for a match away that we can't really afford to lose. Then up front, now this is an interesting one. You know, I've been thinking to myself, because, you know, would I actually be mad enough to risk McCormack and Ruiz there? Ruiz as playing as a second striker off McCormack. I'm not really sure how it would work, because I can't see who would hold the ball up. But, you know, just between them, I don't know, because it's not really working for me. Yeah, Hugo does work okay with McCormack, but still, it's not ideal. Corley, likewise. If he's going to play Ruiz, and you say this is, you know, this is the thing, do we play him after what he said? I don't know. I kind of agree with Mike, really, that he shouldn't be in the team. But is he going to try that? I don't know. I think I would be tempted probably to stick to what we have with McCormack there, with Hugo, just off Hugo. But with the potential to bring Ruiz on in that position, you know, for either McCormack or for Hugo, if he doesn't work at some stage, and see what he can do there to offer something different, but not in the diamond situation. That was with two central midfielders. So, you know, Parker and Fofana in middle, with obviously Parker more of a duty to hold and Fofana to run. LBC protecting the right, Kavanagh on the left. McCormack, not really a cam, more of a second striker, just off Hugo. Potential to bring in, you know, people like Ruiz come in there, Kakanikovic as well, maybe there or wide if it doesn't work. From the bench, Roberts as well, likewise, to come in and do something. So really, it's a safety first lineup, but, you know, hopefully with people like Fofana and LVC, you know, McCormack, there are still some, you know, some attacking threat.
Okay. I like it. I like that, David. Good stuff. All right, we've only got about 2 minutes. We've got to do this quick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, it's clear that what we need is, and Dave agrees, is sort of runners in midfield at least. You know, LVC, Fofana.
Right.
I think we've missed Fofana and, you know, his ability to get forward. And that's going back to it. That's why we're disappointed with Williams game, you know, because young, pacey, get forward quickly. And otherwise, it's just slow.
No, I hear you, Mike. Listen, we only have 90 seconds, so I have to get your prediction fairly quick.
Yeah.
So go, I'm going to you first.
1-1.
1-1. Okay. David?
I'm sorry to say, I fear we're going to lose 2-1.
Okay. I'm going 3-1. Fulham. And a hat-trick by Ross McCormack. I'll leave that with you, David.
Oh, my God.
I had to do that. I'm sorry. I just didn't have time I can read the predictions real quick on the Carstar Facebook page. Tomita Rahman has 3-2 Fulham. Roger Lewis 2-0 win. Ben Reed has 3-0 win. Reg Hollis has 7-6 to Fulham. I like that. Okay. Just got to wrap up the show before we go. Just a reminder, you can download Carter's Talk on iTunes on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can listen to Carter's Talk now on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's it for the show. Great show. For David Holly and Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you again, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Thanks,
great show.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Mike. See you soon. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. behavior.